convent life. In a very Catholic part of Rwanda. Apparently we're the first Catholic mission church was sited here in Gisagara. And the sounds of the nuns singing in the background, who I have to say have made us incredibly welcome, very comfortable. I wasn't quite sure what to expect staying at a convent, to be honest. Can you believe they've even sent out to bring in some beers? just for me, so I'm tickled by that, but also, yeah, it's nice to be made welcome, and we've been working hard and all of that. So we've done 3 days now of training, 3 out of 5 that we're doing here. And it's nothing short of remarkable. The group, Rwandan Women's Permaculture, formed over the last 2 years. I'm in the process of developing the school garden. And yesterday I had a chance to speak to Jean, the head teacher, who really wants to expand the program. He can see the value of it. I think it's been a process for him to come on board. But I think other schools has interest from other people around as well. I mean, it's, you know, what's not to like? We're slowly adapting the grounds to harvest more of the rainwater, direct that towards productive areas, growing more food and so forth. And yeah, building this group. And I think there's about 15 of them, 15 women. But no, it's not, it's about two, so, and it's, what's great also is it's a mixture of, there are some of the teachers, some of the pupils, and some other women from outside, some males as well. So even though it's a women's group, it's obviously not exclusive, but initiated by women, and obviously with the intention of being actively inclusive in that way. So it's you know, I thought in the UK we don't really see groups of teachers and pupils working together, and there's something like really nicely leveling about that. And yeah, there you go. It's hard to know what to expect, of course, because you don't know what people know. And what it seems is that they've mainly done practical things. They don't have a lot of the theory. But as soon as we started engaging with them, a fantastic thirst for knowledge. They really want to know. And that's because this isn't theoretical in the sense of they're doing it. You know, this is an area that's under pressure for food and resources, and to make the most of what they have. You know, as I said already, the available land is is cultivated, and maybe this big tract owned by, you know, institutions like the church. And I think having even a small farm is, you know, is a big deal. And the vast majority of people here are farmers. That is the reality. That's the work. That's the opportunity they have. Hello, Habari. Getting laughed at by the locals. I think they're still impacted seeing a pale face. There's still a bit of a novelty in some. Create a bit of hilarity. There's avocado trees everywhere. I have to say, this mission, the convent that we're staying at, they have fantastic gardens. They don't need teaching permaculture. They're doing it all organic. Lovely mix of fruits and herbs and vegetables. And the food that they're serving us every day is really wonderful. Simple, plain, honest fare, but great, you know, just really good quality ingredients. We had fish, fried banana, and a lovely sauce last night. looking forward to see what they bring us tonight. I'm feeling slightly guilty. I mean, we're paying £5.50 a night. That includes breakfast and dinner. And great, and we're the only people staying, so we get the full attention of the people. Well, they've got other things to do. Obviously, they're busy, but yeah, they'd be very good to us. So there's a primary school here in the morning, so lots of little happy faces, and they do drumming and singing, so we wake up to that as we're getting ready for work. You know, in a land with limited space, in a nation, a country with limited space, limited land, we need to make the most of it. And although we see a lot of farm and a lot of productive areas, you know, it's challenging to think how much permaculture can contribute to this. Can we double, treble productivity by good design, by stacking elements together, by building better soils, and, you know, so on and so forth. Many questions that we think about. there's plenty of unfully realised opportunity at the school, for sure. They have cattle there, but they're not really utilising the manure. Perhaps they could have biogas. They have a pond there for gathering water, but there's no fish farming going on, or aquaculture. It's like they have different elements, but they're not connected together as a whole. So that's something that Gerard is thinking about. We're calling him Gerard now, because a slightly French twist. Sounds a bit better than Gerald. Anyway, you know, that's also an interesting thing. It's about 10 years ago, they stopped French being the language of education here and switched to English. So some people of a certain age group are kind of caught in between. Is because obviously people speak Kinyar, Rwandan, their first language. and many speak some French and also English. But ones of a certain age sort of got French to a certain level and then slightly rudimentary English because of the changeover. But chatting to some of the younger pupils yesterday, they're really good English and very engaging conversations, and I found them really lively, really interested, lots of questions. Really easy to engage with. So that makes me think there's such a great potential to connect permaculture to. There's over 1,000 pupils, right? So that's it. You know, there's a lot of people. There's a lot there that could be, you know, connected together. Well, I asked some of the pupils about their ambitions. You know, do they want to be airline pilots and doctors? And good evening. You know, what do they hope where education will take them? And you know, I think many are happy just to be good farmers and fit into the society here, and maybe not having too much burning ambition might prevent the future disappointment. I don't know. It's different here, you know. I'm going to say, Rwanda is very well organized. It's tidy. There's no rubbish. There's no plastic in the hedges. They banned plastic bags. People are obliged to spend, I think, a Sunday a month picking up rubbish. If there's rubbish around your house, you'll be challenged. It's kind of a police state. Police are everywhere, but the police are not corrupted, and they're not asking for bribes. They're not. In fact, they wouldn't do that. That would be that would be not something that would happen here. So I think in a sort of ordered, structured society with kind of clear goals around, I guess, peace and harmony and feeding people and, you know, meeting needs. They're not ever going to be some massive capitalistic country. They don't have many resources to exploit other than the nature and the forest. So they can focus on building lives and building, you know, hopefully sustainable livelihoods. And I think permaculture could contribute a lot to that. So I'm really excited what Rose and her group might achieve and where that might go. And through our Academy of Permaculture, we want to track the paths of these people, of the members of this group, young and old, but especially the young, and to think about the journey that they may be on and where they might take permaculture in their lives and through their work. And yeah, so that's it so far. 3 days in of training, a couple of days getting here, so we've been here I think tonight's the sixth night. It's gonna fly by. One of the reasons I'm making these recordings is I want to sort of bottle the experience. I realise that it'll be gone quickly, and who knows when we next be able to return here. I hope it's not long, but realistically, the price of gas, the reality is climate change and the emissions and stuff is, we can't expect to keep coming out here. And obviously, resources that we can win for the projects need to go to the projects and not be spent by us jollying around. But very much a worthwhile trip, and I think this is going to really boost the work in progress. Really had such a great response from the group, a lot of laughter today, a lot of, you could see people relaxing a bit and just getting into it and wrestling with the many ideas that we're pushing in front of them. We made biochar today. We're building a low energy stove tomorrow. We did pruning yesterday. We've talked a lot about what permaculture is and the direction it's going in, and hopefully igniting curiosity and determination to take these ideas forward. It's all about collaboration. It's about building beneficial relationships, and it's something we keep saying, and I think it's sort of resonating. Yeah, what a journey, what a journey. I mean, even for myself, I can't imagine 31 years of being involved in permaculture. Didn't still anticipate it. Find myself here in a convent in Rwanda, International Women's Day, helping the formation of this sort of first really pioneering permaculture group in Rwanda. Really in a part that needs this, or this opportunity there for real growth. And it's humbling. I'm humbled. I'm focused on trying to do the best I can for this whole situation and see where it takes us. See where it takes them. Keep trying building connections and joining people together. That's the best we can do, isn't it?